Women's Health Matters on Talk About. Brought to you in association with the Scotia Clinic Rathas Tralee, specialists in fertility and menopause.
Now, welcome back. Well, since Brendan had a question from a lady, from a man whose wife is 14 weeks pregnant and putting vinegar on everything, appropriately enough, we have Dr. Mary McCaffrey here for our women's health slot. Cravings are a real thing, aren't they, Mary?
They actually are a real thing. Now, I've never heard the vinegar one. I can't even begin to imagine it as being a thing. But it was when you were talking about it. My mother, I was an August baby, and my mother craved new potatoes with butter on them for, I'd say, the entire, no wonder I was the big size I was when I was born. But anyone who knows me would know that the minute May is coming around the corner, I'll be asking about new potatoes. She just lived on floury potatoes.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Isn't that funny?
I think it is a thing.
Yeah. And I wonder, I often wonder about this because I find my daughter likes the same kind of foods I like. Do babies develop their mom's taste buds because of what you ate during pregnancy?
There's a word we use called epigenetics. It's a big scientific word. It's about how your metabolism is altered by what you've been exposed to in the womb, and it can go back a couple of generations even. So that's why I often wonder about the potatoes and the famine or whatever. But it is an own thing that, you know, what people eat in pregnancy can determine the metabolism of their babies, which is, I suppose, goes back to the healthy eating thing. So yeah, it is a thing.
Yeah, interesting. Well, listen, I deliberately asked you to discuss a particular topic today, and that's the topic of HRT, because the well-known TV presenter Catherine Thomas, who has a new series which started on RTE during the week, as always happens with these things, she gave a lot of media interviews last weekend, and in the course of the interview, but this is the one thing, she said a lot of things, but the one thing that the paper zoned in on is she was talking about HRT, and she said she went on it for a short time, it didn't suit her, she had all kinds of side effects, and she came off it. And of course, that has been sort of blown out of all proportion now. Yeah. And I was reading it and saying to myself, you know, it's a pity now, because she's very high profile, and that'll put a lot of women out there off HRT.
I was actually out of the country, so I missed it, unfortunately, so I haven't heard it live and in the flesh. So I suppose my reaction to that is that the most important thing for me is that anyone who is starting on HRT needs to understand why they're going on it, what is the purpose of the HRT, and that takes quite an intense consultation with a doctor or a menopause nurse or whatever. So people, you know, HRT is replacing the hormones that your body is no longer producing, estrogen from your ovaries usually, and then there's another one called progestogen that we put people on to protect the lining of the womb from overthickening with the estrogen. So that's what HRT is, and it will in general work for things like hot flushes and sweats if the only reason you're having them is because you're short of estrogen. So for example, if you have thyroid issues and other issues, that's not going to be resolved by being on HRT. And there is a culture out there, and I've heard it a lot from patients recently coming in who've said, oh, my friends were told by whoever that everybody over 40 should be on HRT. I mean, you can't make statements like that. So I suppose the first step is why someone needs it, and then what do they need? So that's why we take such a lot of time and effort when we do menopause consultations to make sure we're treating the right thing. And I always review people after 3 months on it to make sure they aren't having side effects, that it isn't working for them, because there's no one size fits all, and you will have to tweak it for individual patients. So say, for example, someone might get a lot of breast tenderness. That might be because they were put on too high a dose of estrogen, or their body's very sensitive to it, and you can tweak the dose at the 3 months thing. Or it might be that they come in and say, oh, my sleep is as bad as ever, I'm not any better, my brain fog is as bad as ever. But it might not be that that's menopause, it might be maybe they've sleep apnea, maybe they've restless legs, maybe they've depression, maybe they've anxiety. So there's a lot more that goes into it than just, yeah, we'll put you on HRT and out the door. You have to really follow up patients. And yes, there will be people that it isn't necessary for and isn't suitable for, but we always try and figure out what is suitable for them.
Yeah, and there's actually very few people who can't take HRT?
There's just so many varieties out there between tablets and patches and gels and sprays and different progesterones and whatever. There are so many things out there. And I think the important thing as well, I was just, when I heard it, will people, because I had a few questions during the week, how long will I be on HRT and when am I going to stop it? And one of the things people need to be aware of as well is we often have a medical reason for putting people on HRT. In addition to the hot flushes and sweats, it might be because it'll protect them from osteoporosis, or they have thinned bones and we're trying to prevent it worsening, or it might be for heart disease, particularly in younger women. I think that's important to know. And I know we've talked a few times about ADHD and mood and how being on oestrogen can be very important. So there comes a time, and I see all my patients on a yearly basis just to review the doses they're on. And in time, they might come down a dose, they might change the dose, but it's important not to just stop everything cold turkey. Because if you do that and it's meant to be helping your bones, then you might actually start getting bone loss.
Okay, so are you on it indefinitely, though, once you're on it?
Not necessarily. Some women will come off it at a point in time. Some women will go down to a minimal dose. Some women will be on it indefinitely because their bodies really need that amount of oestrogen. But it could be very, very low dose for a prolonged period of time.
Okay. Now, you say as well that sometimes lifestyle changes can be a big help for someone.
And that's actually really important. So, when we see someone for a menopause appointment, we will go through all the lifestyle things with them as well. So we know, for example, that someone who has a higher BMI may get worse hot flushes and sweats, and losing a little bit of weight may help them. So usually in that situation, we talk to everyone about diet and exercise, but we would really zone in on it. Obviously, someone who smoking isn't a good thing, the kind of foods they eat, alcohol, all kinds of different things, the temperature of your bedroom at night, sleep hygiene. There's just so much involved in getting yourself healthy.
Yeah, okay. Can I ask you as well about, because like I personally know a lot of women my own age who are not on it and like will not even discuss it, don't want to know, because they remember the days when HRT was linked with breast cancer and it's just that fear.
Yeah.
Those studies are so outdated now, aren't they?
They are, and I'm actually surprised there's even people young enough to remember that time. They're probably hearing it from their mums. I suppose the first thing to say is that those studies were done on completely different medications to what we offer nowadays. They were done in older women in America on specific tablets that were what we call equine based. The hormones were produced from horses' urine and different things. So they were totally, totally different hormones. And the breast cancer risk is actually more associated with the progestogen and not the estrogen in general. And most of the progestogens we use nowadays are quite body identical, for want of a better word. They're not the same synthetic progestogens from years ago. And look, if there's someone out there who feels they couldn't possibly go on HRT because they have that mental block about it, at least come and see what other alternatives are there, because there's so many other alternatives now to HRT. We have different medications we use. Our breast cancer patients are on different things. Even something as simple as vaginal estrogen might help, urinary tract infections, all kinds of options. So I don't think someone should not even come for a chat about it. They should at least see what's out there.
Yeah, but we've a tendency, I think Irish women especially, of suffering in silence and sort of putting up with it.
Putting up with it, and then they come really late, and then sometimes it's too late. That's the problem. So, for example, there's a study out recently saying that if you use vaginal oestrogen much later on in life, the tissues aren't quite as elastic and don't respond as well as if you'd started when you're younger. So I suppose people have to take all of these things into account.
Like for a woman listening to us this afternoon, Mary, who's maybe going through the menopause and they have hot flushes and the odd night sweats okay from time to time, but generally speaking, they're coping fine. They're not too bad with it. Are they okay not to go on HRT? Oh,
absolutely. But what I would say to people like that, and I might use the opportunity as well, because we've said menopause since the beginning of this programme, let's talk about perimenopause as well, because a lot of those women can get quite fobbed off. But if someone says, I don't feel I need HRT, that's absolutely fine. But there's nothing wrong with a health check. See what your blood pressure is like, see what your cardiac risk score is like, and look at your bones so that you can see, well, I'm not going to go on HRT, but I now know maybe I've thinned bones, I need to get an exercise program in place. So I think it's the health check bit of it is equally as important. And I do think for the younger women as well, I'm meeting so many younger women who are being told you're too young to have a perimenopause. I'm seeing women as young as 38. with perimenopause. So I think it's really, really important that they do proactively look after, just have a consultation, see what can be done for them.
Very good. We have a question in already about HRT. Listener says, I'm on HRT now for a few weeks and I find I'm craving foods late at night and I also need to go to the bathroom more frequently. Is this a side effect? I'm on the spray and the tablet and I'm 44.
That's very young, is it? No, it's not.
It's 38.
I would have thought the... I mean, I don't know whether these came up in part for menopause consultation to start off with. I don't know whether these are brand new and maybe they were there and she's more conscious of them now. I don't know. So I think it's worth, I wouldn't stop it. I would go back to whoever started her on her HRT and just see what could be tweaked and why are these other things happening now.
Yeah, okay, very good. We've other questions for you as well, both about HRT and we've a few in about other women's health related issues. So keep them coming. We'll get through as many as we can. 083 300 3300. For now, though, we'll take a break.
Talk About on Radio Kerry, sponsored by Kitty O'Shea's Seafood and Grill Restaurant, College Street, Killarney. For an unforgettable dining experience right in the heart of Killarney, book your Kitty's experience and look forward to great food in a warm, friendly atmosphere at Kitty O'Shea's Killarney.
Women's Health Matters on Talk About. Brought to you in association with the Scotia Clinic Rathas Tralee, specialists in fertility and menopause.
Dr. Mary McCaffrey is with us. We're talking about HRT this month, but we will take other queries as well about other health, women's health related issues. Listener says, Mary, if you had DCSI early breast cancer, can you take HRT? My consultant says no.
Okay, so I'm presuming she is saying her consultant is her breast care consultant. In general, women with breast cancer, we don't have on HRT because of the hormone drive in it. But what we would normally do in a situation like that is sit down with somebody, go somebody through their symptoms, see what their symptoms are and see how we can manage them without necessarily introducing hormones. So say, for example, vaginal dryness would be a classic one now, and kidney infections or urinary tract infections, they can have vaginal estrogen. The amount that's absorbed systemically is very low. We can look at other medications that will help with hot flushes and sweats. There are a variety of things out there. So again, it's back to sitting down and having the consultation to see what's available and see what's really interfering with their life that we can help.
Another listener, I'm on HRT since July, the spray first, but it was ineffective, and now I'm on the patch. My joints and my aches and pains have definitely improved, but my sleep and my swollen stomach have increased even more. I look about 6 months pregnant. Does that show that the HRT isn't working, does Dr. McCaffrey think?
Well, the fact that that your listener is saying that the joint pains and everything have improved is really, 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 really good. So often when it comes back to sleep, we'd often sit down and systemically go through, do you get to sleep? Are you waking up in the middle of the night? Is it maybe that the dose of the patch might need to be tweaked? Is it the time? Is it simple things like that? Is it something else? Could it be sleep apnea? Could it be different things? So yeah, magnesium glycinate, which you can get over the counter in a pharmacy or health food shop, is really good for sleep. Could be that melatonin might help. There's lots of different things to look at.
Listener, this is not HRT related. This is a 74-year-old lady who says, can you ask Dr. McCaffrey to talk about prolapse womb repair? I had it done in 2012. I now find it's acting up again. Can you ask her about a repeat repair and how successful it is? I've had different size rings fitted and they didn't work for me. They kept falling down.
Okay. Oh, that's disappointing. I suppose I'm not operating anymore because I'm not attached to any hospital. But when I did pelvic floor repairs, I was absolutely religious about making sure that their follow-up was good, because I think your first bite of the cherry is you get your best result with a pelvic floor repair. And the follow-on is often about, you know, not having something that'll make it worse again, like chronic constipation, straining, whatever. But look, she is where she is now. It's definitely worth pursuing to see what kind of surgery could be done. It is also worth looking at a really good women's health physio for an assessment. And you have the little, they're not little at all, the chair that people sit on that stimulate the muscles in your vagina and pelvic floor to strengthen them up, often used with vaginal estrogen. That can be really helpful. I don't know where this woman lives, but and I don't normally name people out, but Tara Timlin in Oak Park and Tralee is just an amazing women's health physio. She's in the top two in the country as far as I'm concerned, and she has the chair and she does assessments and she looks at rings. But I think the time to do the surgery is now while you're still young, as opposed to, you know, much later, and to really focus in on the post-op follow-up.
Texter says, should a woman's uterus wall be measured every so often after menopause? I'm 62, I never took HRT, and I never had any problems with the menopause.
Well, the answer to that is no, unless there's a reason why someone would be worried about. The thickness of the lining of the womb is what she's thinking about, and that if someone has abnormal thickening, that it could be a sign of maybe some kind of pre-cancer or cancer. It's highly unlikely. I can't see a reason. If that was the case, it would be like a smear test. We'd be doing them on everybody. So I think not. But if anyone ever has bleeding, then they should go and have an ultrasound scan.
Now, this next one, you're going to have to bear with me because there's some terms, medical terms I'm not familiar with, mostly types of type medication. This lady says, I'm on Exemestane, E-X-E-M-E-S-T-A-N-E. After breast cancer, and my oncologist is saying no to Vagifem as it's contraindicatory. He says, however, I feel there is something I could be on, e.g. Blissel, B-L-I-S-S-E-L. What does Mary think?
Well, Blissel is a variation. It's just another trade name for a similar drug to Vagifem. Gosh, I'm very reluctant to be
to go against the doctor.
But look, this comes up quite a lot, and came up over the summer when I gave a talk somewhere in the county, and I went back to the oncology faculty to talk about it, and they felt that most women can be on Vagifem or Blissel, and I think maybe if that person was to do their own literature search and present the evidence to their consultant at the next visit, that wouldn't be an unreasonable option.
Another caller says, I'm 64 this year and still getting night sweats. What is going on? Some days I'm like a lunatic with my mood. It's unreal.
Okay. Well, it sounds like there is something hormonal triggering that. I am presuming from the way the question is worded that this has been going on for a long period of time. Now, in general, we wouldn't put someone on HRT after 60 unless there was a quality of life issue. Well, the guideline is you don't put anyone over 60 on HRT or within 10 years of menopause, but it sounds like this person probably is still menopausal. They need to make sure that there isn't something else going on, like a thyroid problem or whatever. But there are other medications besides HRT that can be used for hot flushes and sweats. New drugs out called Kisspeptin, which could be looked at, or even a very, very short trial of HRT. I'd be brave about that now. And probably if the person was in every other way healthy, that it would be worth giving them a short trial to see would they benefit from it. The downside is that the evidence only suggests now, and it's not written in stone, that you could worsen cardiovascular disease if you start HRT after 60 in women who've been menopausal, but she's not actually menopausal really. And then the other thing is there's some evidence suggesting that starting HRT later on as well may increase the risk of dementia. So it really is a complicated case that needs to be sat down and looked at thoroughly.
Okay. Another listener is 49 and on HRT. Lenzetto and Eutrogestin.
Eutrogestin.
The person wants to know, this lady wants to know, can I start a GLP-1? Will it make HRT less effective or vice versa?
There's two aspects to that. GLP-1s are Ozempic, Mounjaro, things like that.
Oh.
Which is the injection for either type 2 diabetes or weight loss. So there's two things to say about that. Obviously, the person is trying to lose weight, and that's a really good thing because obviously we're trying to get people as healthy as possible. There's some evidence out now that people on GLP-1s that are menopausal stroke perimenopausal and also on HRT do better in terms of weight loss, particularly if they're doing their high protein diet and their healthy lifestyle and their resistance training. The only thing that we would bear in mind, and it's only bear in mind, is that sometimes the absorption of tablets that you take may be affected by the GLP-1s, so we would maybe tweak the dose of the eutrogestin or swap it to a Mirena, which will do the same job. So yeah, it's just the person who prescribes the HRT needs to have that conversation and see what they'd like to do.
Yeah, so there are options. Yeah. We have a 77-year-old lady. She says she has very frequent and urge urination problems. I think we know what she means.
Yeah.
My doctor put me on Vagifem, which I find very hard to use. Is there any alternative to this, please?
Okay, I'm wondering why she's finding it hard to use.
Okay. To insert maybe.
Now, there is a cream, which is a different formulation to Vagifem. Possibly, again, she needs to just sit down with the person who prescribed and look at what the options are. She might find it easier to put some of that around the outside of the vagina initially and then might find it easier to get the applicator in eventually. There also is an estrogen ring which goes in for 3 months. It's not licensed in this country, so unfortunately, if she was to go down that road, she'd have to pay the full price for it because it isn't a licensed medication here, but it can be very useful for people like that. Maybe she's arthritis, maybe there's a prolapse. Lots of things. I think she needs to just go back and talk to the person about what else she could use.
A listener says, I'm in my 70s. I'm on the patch. It used to be twice a week, but I've reduced my dose to one patch a week, 75. I presume that's a reference.
Can you start that again, George?
Yeah, she's in her 70s. She's on the patch, the HRT patch. She used to be on two patches a week, but she's reduced the dose to just one patch a week. And then she says 75 in brackets, so I presume that's some reference to the dosage. My bloods say I'm fine to do that. I'm on it for my bones and for night sweats. I'm not sure what the question is, but...
Yeah, no, I do. Yeah, I think the problem with taking it once a week is you're not getting the full estrogen dose throughout the whole week because it's meant to be changed halfway through the week for a reason that there's no more estrogen left in the patch. I would have thought the dose sounded a little bit high for her age. Age would be the other thing I was thinking about. So maybe she needs to go back to her doctor and say, well, could I get a lower dose for twice a week? Because there's a 25 patch, a 37.5 patch, a 50 patch. They're the kind of situations where when I said earlier about reviewing your dose every year and trying to, as you get older, maybe come down in the dose. And maybe look at her bones, how bad are they? Is there something else she could be taking? But a 75 patch once a week, it just doesn't sound
right. Yeah.
Sound in my head that it's been done right. I wonder if she's chopping them in half as well. You wouldn't know.
Yeah, I've heard of women who do that. And she doesn't say that anybody told her to come down to one patch a week, so it could be something she's doing herself. But
I think definitely a consultation.
I think so. We've two more. We'll finish with these two and they're not related to HRT, Mary. Listener wants to know, could you speak some month about vaginal lichen planus? I'm probably saying that all wrong.
Oh, that's a skin disorder, yeah, and we haven't actually.
Yeah. She says, my doctor prescribed Emuvate cream, which is very effective, but it keeps recurring. I'm managing it well. I'm in my late 60s and in good health.
Okay, so, and that's a very reasonable thing to talk about. We haven't. Lichen planus and lichen sclerosis are two skin disorders, and we should really talk about it sometime because they often get diagnosed as thrush in error if people aren't examined at the right time. So yeah, we'll do that.
We'll come back to it maybe next month. And finally, this lady is 50. She had a hysterectomy 6 weeks ago because she was bleeding very heavily. She was having very heavy bleeding. She's now started bleeding again and is asking, could this be because they did not remove my ovaries?
No, it's more like there's two things she needs to go back to. If she had a hysterectomy 6 weeks ago, she must be pretty well due back for a review anyway, post-op appointment. Two things could have happened. Sometimes nowadays people leave the cervix behind when they're doing a hysterectomy. There might be just a little bit of tissue there that's still being stimulated by hormones to bleed. Or there's another condition that it could be what we call granulation tissue, at the suture line inside in the vagina, which is like proud flesh, for want of a better word, inside in the vagina, and that might be bleeding. So she just needs to get her 6-week appointment with her gynecologist and get them to explain it to her.
Yeah, very good. Okay, well, listen, Mary, we leave it there. We got loads of questions about HRT, so it was definitely worth discussing that this month, and lots of other questions as well. If people want to get a consultation with you, they should ring the Scotia Clinic.
Yeah, they can email, or we have an online booking system now as well.
Yeah, perfect. And you'll find Mary at the Scotia Clinic here in Tralee. Mary, until next month, thank you very much for
that.
Thank
you, everybody.
And we'll chat to you again in May, all going well. We'll take a break, folks, back in a moment.
Talk About on Radio Kerry, sponsored by Kitty O'Shea's Seafood and Grill Restaurant, College Street, Killarney. From a romantic meal for two or...